Hello out there, we're on the air, it's hockey night tonight. Tension grows, the whistle blows, and the puck goes down the ice. The goalie jumps and the players bump and the fans all go insane. Someone roars, Bobby scores at the good old hockey game.
It's on like Donkey Kong.
Woohoo! Are you ready?
Yes!
I said, are you ready?
Jason Dale!
Daddy's too hot.
I like peni.
That's what she said.
Hump. I love BJ's Pab Thwabby.
Blood Puddle.
Fur Circus. Steven Ricker's Testicles.
T-Butted.
Boom chicka wow wow.
No touchy place.
Beer.
Broken penis.
Vitellary Filipula.
Filipuli.
Filipalapala.
Wow, 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 wow.
Use your big boy words.
La 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 la.
Who's the brains in this outfit? My point exactly.
That was totally wicked!
Oh, the good old hockey game is the best game you can name. And the best game you can name is the good old hockey game.
And we're back, second hour of the amusement park, and now joining me in the studios of 96.9 FM Wired Radio, the one and only senior writer, webmaster, vice president of Offbeat Shenanigans, Michael Shockley. How are you doing today, Michael Shockley?
I'm glad that we have been spared the wrath of Blizzard.
I am not.
You would. You,
oh, heck
you,
yeah.
You
give
want
24 inches in 24 hours.
You want you want Blizzard to give you 24 inches?
Whoa, I meant the...
Of snow?
Yes,
I meant
snow. Yes. So, no, yes, no, I'm not into mascots. Remember a few years ago in the old, when I worked radio for the AHA team, and there was a certain Blizzard that year, and he was creeping on me the entire time. It was the funniest thing. I'd be doing the broadcast, and then he'd come up and creep on me. It's horrible.
Well, it was easy to get to you at Swander. All you had to do was walk up right behind you and rub your neck.
Yeah. You had to be careful if you did that, though, because you knocked off Preston Roo's beer, because he'd always
set it up
there it up
on the top.
On the counter. But anyway, since our last show, the apocalypse has happened. We've broken down the maniac alert system and it's just been replaced with an atomic bomb.
And a form to cancel your season tickets.
That Rick Llewellyn, the guy is just brilliant. That one was the best there.
So apparently the cool thing to do in sports talk radio these days is state the obvious. I was on the way into do the show, and I heard on ESPN radio someone said, and I quote, Russell Wilson is going to have to play better in the Super Bowl than he did in the NFC Championship game if they expect to win.
Yep.
Mind you, Russell Wilson threw four interceptions in the NFC Championship game. Quite an obvious statement. So, in the spirit of making obvious statements, I'm going to say...
In the spirit of bad talk radio.
The Icemen aren't doing very well right now. since our last show, 0-2-1... Started off Friday night, a 3-3 weekend with a 4-0 loss at Cincinnati. The only thing of note out of that game was that Cincinnati had 8 power plays while the Icemen only had 2, and the players had a meltdown in the third period, earning 3 misconducts and a game misconduct for abuse of officials. You don't see that all that often.
Nope. Go Team Zebra.
Yes. Moving on to Saturday, the 24th in Indy, a 4-1 loss to the Fuel. Colin Murray had the lone Iceman goal, and Kyle Stroh had a natural hat trick for the Fuel. It was the first hat trick in Indy's new franchise history. And we almost saw some other history.
Whoa.
Fuel goaltender Matt Carruth almost scored an empty net goal late in that game. They were up by 2. It was 3-1. And he took a shot and missed the net by less than a foot. It was quite the moment, but just missed it. And I was among the 30 to 40 Iceman fans who made the trip. First time I've been in the Coliseum since the renovation, and they did a really nice job with it. Obviously, there are some limitations with the size and just the age of the structure of the building, but For what it is and the money they put into it, they got their money's worth. They did a really nice job on it, and it's a really cool place to watch a hockey game now. Not that it wasn't in the past, it's just modern. And I thought their game presentation was pretty good, too. For an expansion team, they're starting to get things squared away. I know from those that went up during the preseason, they had a lot of kinks to work out, and there weren't any major kinks at this point. So good to see that they've got their show figured out. My one complaint was their DJ played way too much hip-hop. You thought you were at a basketball game.
Says the old white guy.
Yeah. There's a lot more old white guys at a hockey game than non-old white. Yeah.
I don't know what to tell you. It sounds like I'm ready to go now.
Yeah, it's really cool. They did a really nice job, and we're hoping to go up for another game before the season's over. On Valentine's Day, interestingly enough, the Icemen are on the road, and on Valentine's Day, Indy hosts the evil Cincinnati Cyclones. So, and it's a Saturday night this year. So anyone who wants to go to another game in Indy and maybe cheer for the home team while you're up there, there you go. Anyway, and then Sunday, the 3-3 wrapped up with a 2-1 overtime loss to Indy at home. Mark Anthoyne scored for the Icemen in the second period, but Indy got the game-tying goal on a deflection with 2:32 left in regulation, and Kyle Stroh struck again with the game winner on a rebound just 32 seconds into overtime. It was our first blemish this season with Matt Spaeth as a linesman, although we did at least get a point.
Yeah, let's be easy when we're talking about blemishes.
Yeah. 3-0-1 with him on the ice this year, and we were 5-1-2 with him on the ice last year. So, 8-1-3 overall in the last two seasons with Matt Spaeth on the ice. I think we've advocated for it before. He needs to be the next coach of the Icemen.
He needs to just have his linesman jersey retired in the rafters.
There you go. So after this weekend, the suddenly hot Fuel are 7-0-1 in their last eight. They've shaken things up, and it's working.
It's all Mike Duco, former Toronto Maple Leaf, Toronto Marley prospect.
And they traded away Robert Zarnik, their leading scorer, and everybody thought, why would you trade away your leading scorer? And then, lo and behold, it's turned things around.
Mike Duco.
Yeah.
That guy was awesome for Orlando last year.
Yes. So while the Fuel are hot, the Icemen not so much. We are now 3-17-4 in our last 24 games. Now 5 points behind expansion Indy and 11 points out of the fourth and final playoff spot in the North Division. Do you think it is now safe to say we're not making the playoffs?
Well, as I predicted in the preseason, we're not making the playoffs. So I'm going to throw that question back to you, Mr. We are going to make the playoffs with this hockey club. Are you now recanting, or is it time to start coming up with excuses?
Oh, no, I'm not making excuses. I'm just
not like last time. You predicted them into playoffs, and they finished dead last.
All I'm going to say is if you're wanting to make plans in late April, I think it's probably safe to do so. I guess anything could happen, but at this point, if I had to put any amount of money on it, no. But you never know. Look at what Indy's done in their last eight games. All of a sudden, they're playing like a playoff team. Now, I don't know that they're going to find their way into it. They're only 6 points out now, so who knows? But yeah, I don't have high hopes.
No. I can't remember who it was. I wanted to look it up, so I apologize. But someone in the Maniac Asylum posted a tire fire picture, which I actually like better than the atomic bomb.
If you've ever seen a tire fire.
Yes, because an atomic bomb right now is way too clean to explain this season. I mean, this is a tire fire. It is just smoke and poisonous, noxious fumes in the air, and it's not easily put out. So, and then you got to give credit to the Indy Fuel fan base, and most specifically Melissa Sanders, who has been posting on Facebook, and she has done a fantastic job.
She's bringing it.
She is bringing it, and she's bringing it right. And she did say something that I think people need to listen to is, we don't get a first-round pick. We don't get first pick overall for finishing last. This talk of we're building for next season, everyone's a free agent.
Yeah.
Very few guys are signed to multi-year contracts. Everyone is a free agent.
Right.
So there is no trading to build for next year. There may be some people that are trying to impress Al Sims.
Right. You're evaluating players, nobody's locked up.
There are some players that are hoping to maybe get signed to an AHL contract or get called up, but there is no building for next year. It is all just finishing out this season.
Every year you're building a new house.
Yes. So, I mean, you might be able to bring a couple of people in and see if they like the city, and that may help to sign them next year. But short of that, anything that we do now has nothing to do with next year.
Yeah, it's just... Well, I think there is some value in evaluating players, but ultimately, if Al Simms is the one building the team next year, he's going to build it from scratch.
Yeah.
You may bring some guys back, and maybe one or two of the guys that you see come in here at the end of the season will get one of those roster spots. But, it's just making changes to see what you can put together at this point.
Speaking of which, let's head right into the Iceman transactions.
So last Wednesday after our show, Jordan Simms and Mark Anthoine were both released, but then Anthoine was re-signed on Sunday. And
Good thing.
As mentioned, he returned on Sunday night and had the only goal for the Iceman. But over the weekend, the changes began in earnest for Mr. Simms.
And did we predict that last week, or was it off air?
It was on air. Okay. I said I did not think Kale Kerbashian would be here much longer because of the way he was struggling defensively. And lo and behold, on Saturday, he was traded to the Rapid City Rush for forward Robin Sudek. He is a second-year pro from the Czech Republic, played 4 years of major junior hockey in the WHL, had 114 points in 126 games in his last two seasons there. As a rookie last year, he had 20 points in 41 games with the Denver Cutthroats in the CHL, and he played 3 games in the AHL with the Lake Erie Monsters. This year he had 6 points in 9 games with Rich Crom and the Stockton Thunder, and then was traded to Rapid City where he had 15 points in 20 games. He made his Iceman debut on Saturday wearing number 10. And to close the book on Kerbashian, he had 28 points and was minus 17 in 37 games for us. And as mentioned, we talked about him last week. So,
Someone else in the asylum, again, I apologize. It might have been Patrick McBrier, but I'm not sure. But someone said, darn it, when Kale Kerbashian got released or traded because he was on pace to break Todd Robinson's plus minus.
Yeah.
And, boy, we got a great fan base here. I mean, they're just smart and witty. It's what you want in your fan base.
So the changes continued on Tuesday. Matt Lowry traded
Real quick, I'm sorry, before we get to that, is Robin Sudek. As far as I'm concerned, it's kind of funny to watch his season. It looks like he's trying to return to the Czech Republic one trade at a time. He starts
working
in California.
East.
Yeah, he's working the East, so somehow we got to trade him to Greenville or
Elmira,
and then then he'll have to go, get suspended and go across the pond from there. And hopefully, he's the replacement for Jakub Sulek.
From Sudek to Sulek,
yeah, Sulek to Sulek, and put some pucks in the net. Eck.
I like that. Tuesday, Matt Lowry traded in the division to the Fort Wayne Comets for
this one hurt.
Yeah,
this was a bad day when I turned on my computer.
Center Thomas Frazee coming the other way. He is a second-year pro as well from British Columbia. He spent 5 years in the Western Hockey League, and in his fifth year, he had 72 points in 70 games. So good offensive stats there. He's a big dude, 6'3" and 210 pounds. As a rookie last year, he had 47 points in 60 games with the Quad City Mallards. And this year, he had 21 points in 38 games with the Comets. To close the book on Lowry, he had 25 points and was minus 13 in 41 games this year. Combined with last season, he had a total of 64 points in 94 games for the Icemen. And while it does hurt to see Lowry go, some solace may be taken in the fact that Comets fans are not happy with this trade either, so we may be getting a valuable piece in Frazee.
I disagree.
You don't think so?
No, I do not think so at all. I think Matt Lowry is one of the finest forwards in the league because of his tenacity, because of his ability to play two-way and defensively responsible. He's really solid in the face-off circle. And
he's willing to fight.
Yes. And to me, this is that Fort Wayne team, which started off gangbusters, has kind of slowed down. They haven't stumbled by any means, but they've slowed down a little bit, and Toledo has caught them in the standings. And this is a team, we saw them when they've come in here, they are all offense, and I think they're looking to round out this club for the playoff push, because that offense is not going to carry you through the playoffs. You got to have guys that can go two ways, that can play solid, that can grind out those 2-1 wins, and it's Matt Lowry. And I wouldn't be surprised. I have no knowledge of this. This is complete speculation. I know that's coming up later. But but this, to me, on the outside, totally on the outside, looks like Al Sim said, hey, you know what? We're going to get you some experience. We're going to send you off to a contender. Definitely got a nice piece coming back, but I would take Lowry over Frazee any day of the week and twice on Sunday. And Lowry's going to go up there to try and get Fort Wayne a championship. And I think this puts Fort Wayne right back into the top six teams in the league.
You think this may be one of those deals where it's a you scratch my back, I'll scratch yours kind of deals, where there's no future considerations here, but we're doing them a solid by giving them Lowry now, and maybe he'll get something in return later.
I think when you are the last place team in the conference and close to being the worst team in the entire ECHL, a lot of people call you and say, "Hey, you got anyone you want us to develop for you? You have anyone that wants to play the postseason because you are not." And I think you go to a Matt Lowry and you say, "Hey, we love you. We're sending you off. Win a championship. Have fun, play in the playoffs, give us an opportunity to bid for your services next year."
Yeah.
Because everyone's talking about building for next year, and we've already talked about that makes no sense at all. But you keep a guy like that for 72 games in this situation, potentially finishing last in the entire ECHL, how bad is he going to want out next year?
Yeah.
So this way you let him go, you keep a good relationship, and July 1st or whatever the day is, you fire off a contract if he isn't protected.
Yeah. True.
So, and I think Fort Wayne is going to love him.
Oh,
yeah. It's going to take him about 3 games, and then they're going to be like, he's awesome.
Yeah. So. In injury news, Randy Kuehr has been moved to injured reserve. It is a groin injury. We thought it was a face injury of some sort because that's what he held when it happened. But a fan who wished to not be identified said that she was talking to him, and he said he grabbed his face because I wasn't sure what I should be grabbing. He felt something pop in his groin, and he didn't feel like grabbing it in front of thousands of people, so he grabbed his face.
There's a couple of times through different sports that I've been hit in the no-no touchy place so hard, I felt like I had to push him back down my throat.
Yeah. Yeah, I think I've been there too. Oh, yeah, we had quite a conversation about getting hit there a few overtimes ago. In other injury news, Daniel Johnston and Jim McKenzie both returned on Friday and played all 3 games over the weekend. And apparently their returns was in part why Sims and Anthoyne were allowed to go back to the SPHL, at least temporarily. Zach Curry played Friday and Saturday, but was hurt late in the game in Indy on Saturday when, stop me if you've heard this before, but in a different rink, he got hit. And in the process of getting hit, the rink door popped open, and it was a nasty hit for both guys. It looked like Indy's player was actually hurt worse at the time. Curry did skate off under his own power, but clearly was dinged up and did not play on Sunday. Hopefully not a major deal since he was able to skate off. Hopefully that's the case, but we'll see how long he's going to be out. I don't know what exactly he hit, but they both hit hard, and it was one of those situations that to us is all too familiar but should never happen.
Indeed, indeed. And I saw all the Facebook posts from Indy fans, and they were saying, how many times does this have to happen before we deal with it? And I'm like, oh, this sounds
maybe we need to train personnel around the league to make sure that the doors are all shut properly for safety concerns.
Yep.
And a few transactions involving the Binghamton Senators. They have converted Guy Lapine from a tryout to a standard contract, which seems to indicate they intend to keep him around at least for a little while.
Because he was playing really bad hockey.
Right, and he didn't belong even at this level.
Yep. And he's got bad leadership skills.
Yeah, mm-hmm. He's a scrub. What's French for scrub?
Scrubé.
Scrubé, yeah. Scrubé? Is that pig Latin for something?
I don't know.
Binghamton has also suspended Jakub Sulek because he has returned to Europe.
He was not happy here. Gosh, yeah. He was awesome.
And they have released Todd Bertuzzi. The experiment is over. Apparently, after he played a couple games, he was having issues with a knee flaring up, so could be the end of the road for him.
Yep. So anyways, you want to keep track of everything because I'm guessing this is the beginning
the tip of the iceberg.
Yep, of everyone leaving the sinking ship 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, IcemanManiacs.com. You go to the Maniac message board and you will find the latest in Iceman transactions and roster news. Next up.
Mad speculation by the mad scientist, Dr. Dirty D. "100% free of facts because the truth hurts way more than making stuff up. To recap, Peter Sakaris had somnambulism treated with an antiseptic bloodbath. Daniel Johnston, gelatinous tubercles of purulent ossification." That's my favorite one so far. Zach Sternberg, officium defunctorum, which was treated with stereotaxic atrocities. Peter Sakaris had spectrophobic dementia, and he was immersed in earthenware pots to produce absolute body quiescence.
Can't make it up.
I take it back. I think that's my favorite one. Tom Serator had suspected case of leprosy, but thankfully it was a false alarm. Randy Cure missed time with ruminating virulence, and there was no cure, but he's back, and then he got hurt again. It's what happens when you come back from ruminating virulence too fast.
Well, he ended up with the next one.
Yeah. Matt Lowry missed some time with the worst injury of all, a broken penis. Danny Hobbs had a knee injury that was diagnosed as viento borrascoso, and the treatment involves a hemodialysis machine, which is, as we found out, only available in Binghamton.
Yep.
And last week, Daniel Johnston missed a game due to proprioception, which required a minor surgical procedure to correct his proprioception gland. Bet y'all didn't know we had one of those. Now, to get this week's going, this is our 10th diagnosis, which means the next one is free.
as long as you've got your cards.
Right. Yeah, you got to have your punch card, yes. Jarrett Lucan played on Friday and Sunday, but did not play on Saturday. Why, pray tell?
He had a ruptured schizix.
This is my line of this segment. I beg your pardon?
A ruptured schizix.
I beg your pardon
there
again.
There you go. It's in this general area.
Oh, it's a body injury.
It is a body injury.
It's somewhere between the hair on the top of your head and your toenails.
Yeah, it's kind of in that upperish lower part of the upper lower body.
Right, so, okay.
And it's a ruptured schizix.
Schizix. How do you spell that?
S-K-E-E-Z-I-X.
Good. That means I don't have to try to figure out how to spell it when I Google it.
There you go.
So how do you... Does the ruptured schizix just need time to heal?
You got to keep an eye on it. Obviously, he came back and played on Sunday, so it's probably... It may not have been ruptured. It may have just been a strained schizix.
Oh.
But we'll have to keep an eye on that.
Yeah, yeah. It's still considered day-to-day, I would guess.
Yes, day-to-day. Yeah. Got to play tonight against Reading, so we'll see if that schizix flares up or not.
All right, then.
Shockers Hockey Rocks Song of the Week.
Eddie Van Halen turned 60 this past Monday. For those who...
Are you kidding?
60. Oh, yeah.
I'm getting so old.
I know. For those who don't know who Eddie Van Halen is, he was only voted as the greatest guitarist ever by a reader's poll in Guitar World magazine. This is a tune I used as a warm-up song at Swander from 1981. It's Van Halen, Unchained.
I can't Think has been an outreach to inner city and area youth for over 20 years. Home of a coffee house, a vintage store, radio station, and music venue, You Think has run solely on the donations of supporters. Donation is easy, online, and secure. Visit our website, wiredwiredwired.com. Click to donate and join our You Think family of supporters.
Now Iceman Insights with Michael Shockley.
And Daddy.
And Daddy.
Part 2. Shocker. Dirty D. Wired, 96.9 FM. Psst. Jackhammer. Train. Helicopter.
Wait, what the heck was that?
I don't know. Very fast elevator.
Yeah. Yeah, there you go.
News and notes. Please don't talk about the All-Star Game. Please, 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 please don't talk about the All-Star Game.
So the All-Star Game was last Wednesday.
God, nobody cared. How do you people watch that thing?
Oh, I didn't. Miles Bell did represent.
I even mean the NHL one.
Yeah. He represented the Icemen well, scoring 2 goals and 1 assist, and had the game's only penalty in the All-Star Game in Orlando last Wednesday. The All-Stars beat the Orlando Solar Bears 8-4, or as the box score called them, the Orlando All-Stars.
I like it.
Yeah. And Bell was named MVP of the game.
In the EYHA, the Youth Hockey League here in town, they call that a Gordie Howe hat trick. Goal and assist and a minor.
Penalty?
Yep.
Yeah, nice. Friday night, the Hoses took on a team of St. Louis firefighters at Swander, and it was a lot of fun. It was actually a really good game, too. Tied 3-3 after one period. St. Louis put the pedal to the metal in the second period and outscored the Hoses 6-1 in the frame, but the Hoses came back and scored 5 in the third period, but ended up losing 10-9. It was a very good game, though, and a lot of fun, and a lot of money was raised for EYHA, so good times.
Yep, and we love it. Good work by those guys putting it all together. Matt Statfield, Jimmy Payne, Jim Lees. There's a host of others, so good work by all of those guys.
Kelly Wonder did a lot with it. And then silly season is upon us.
Already?
Yes.
Holy crap, what are we going to talk about this summer?
Yeah, no kidding.
You're going to talk about Pab Fwabwe.
Pab Fwabwe, yes. Nothing has been officially approved or announced yet, but the AHL's long-rumored westward shift is coming, and it's going to shake things up a bit in the ECHL as a result. All the details about who's moving where and why can be found on IcemanManiacs.com on the Maniac message board in the silly season thread. But the Cliff's Notes version, what you really need to know for the ECHL next year is, if all of the rumors are true, Bakersfield, Ontario, and Stockton will all be replaced by AHL teams moving west, and the ECHL will likely add 3 to 5 vacated AHL markets. Almost guaranteed are Norfolk, Virginia, which currently is home to the Norfolk Admirals, Manchester, New Hampshire, which is home of the Manchester Monarchs, and
Mike Richards.
Yeah, now. And Glens Falls, New York, which is home of the Adirondack Flames. Possibly coming in would also be Worcester, Massachusetts. And probably doubtful at this point is Oklahoma City. Their AHL team is ceasing operations at the end of the year, and there has been virtually no talk of having any sort of local ownership step up to put an ECHL team there.
But I've been to a game in Oklahoma City. It is awesome.
It's a market with a lot of hockey history. They used to be the best drawing team in the CHL when it had 20, 25 teams. And I would think eventually there will be a team there, but so far there's been very little scuttlebutt about something coming together for next season. So my guess is eventually they will have an ECHL team there, but probably not next year. So we should still have at least 28 teams, maybe more, but less to the west and more to the east, which means after realignment, after everything settles out, the Icemen could end up in the Western Conference again.
Yeah, maybe longer than 104 days,
yeah,
whatever it was.
Exactly. So we'll see. We'll keep you abreast of what happens as things do develop and are officially announced, but changes are afoot, so we'll see what happens.
Hockey 101 starring Soupy Campbell.
Yeah, 3 quick questions from Drew Campbell this week. First off, when icing occurs, the offending team is restricted from changing lines, but when does that line freeze occur? Are they allowed to change as long as they change before the whistle is blown and icing is called, or are the lines frozen the instant the linesman's hand goes up to indicate a potential icing infraction?
Good question.
Yes.
So good that, did you look up the rule? Because I don't know.
Oh, it's the latter. Okay. As soon as the linesman's hand goes up, that's where it's frozen. So yeah, you can't sneak over the bench and get that line change, that cheap line change, against the spirit of the rules.
Yep, so I honestly wasn't sure about that, but I know, like, if you realize that icing's happening and you jump on the ice, to actually complete the change, your teammate has to be on the bench. So it's not going to happen that fast.
Right. So basically, when the puck leaves the stick of the person who is icing the puck, the 5 players on the ice have to remain on the ice. And you'll see guys try to dive bomb their way into the bench, and then the officials have to go over
good linesman,
haul them back out of the bench.
The good linesman and the good ref, you'll see them, knowing that it's an icing upcoming, that they will go right to the bench, and they'll start coordinating everything right then and there.
Yeah, and it's got to be difficult to keep track of who's on there because there's bodies going every which way. But because of how difficult that is, I believe there is a rule on the books now that if a team repeatedly tries to sneak those line changes in knowing it's going to be icing, they can be assessed a bench minor for delay of game.
I like it.
So there you go. It is what the lines are frozen the instant the linesman hand goes up. Second question. What leads to a hand pass being waved off?
Are we talking about neutral zone and attacking zone?
Let's clarify. First off,
you are allowed to hand pass in your own defensive zone.
Right.
From the boards behind the goal line to the blue line.
Right. It has to begin and end within your zone.
Correct.
If it starts in your zone and ends in the neutral zone, that is still a hand pass that is disallowed.
Yes. And it moves back into your face-off circle closest to your net back in your defensive zone. If it happens at neutral ice or the attacking zone, you cannot hand pass it to your own teammate. So it has to have possession by your opponent, and that's what waves it off. And the same is true with a high stick.
Right.
Playing the puck with a high stick, not the penalty, the high stick.
And it is possession. It's not just touching.
Yes.
If it glances off of someone, that doesn't
count. Yeah,
deflects
off a skate or something like that.
Right.
So I did have Kyle Fernetten presented by Schlafly Brewery in St. Louis, who actually caught a puck in the team league, the ETHL championship game, caught it in the offensive zone and threw it into the net.
I don't think that's legal.
That is not a legal hand pass or anything else.
Yes, hand pass is not permitted if you throw it to the net.
Yes.
So that doesn't count either.
That was Kyle Fernetten, and sponsored by Schlafly Brewery,
there
St.
You go.
Louis.
And the third question from Soupy is, you touched on this already, what results in the puck being played with a high stick being allowed? Drew said the linesman will indicate the puck was played with a high stick, then wave it off. I've seen it happen both when the opposing team and the offending team are the first to play the puck, so it's a bit confusing.
It can be confusing, especially if there's a lot of sticks in the area. So what you saw was probably something better than the linesman saw. But it's the same rule. First rule, high stick is anything over 48 inches. And the easiest way to tell is the dasher board is about 48 inches high and the crossbars are 48 inches high.
And Rob Medore is about 48 yes. inches high.
So that's your first visual of whether it's played with a high stick or not. And that cannot be done in any zone. You cannot play the puck out of the air with a high stick and one of your teammates touch the puck first.
Or yourself.
Or yourself.
Right.
Yep.
If the other team touches it first, then they wave it off and
again,
play continues.
Back to the possession thing. Not a glance, not a bounce off someone, but actual control of the puck.
Correct.
There you go.
Good stuff.
Brian Patafi, tweet of the week. Quickly to be followed by Dirty D's Soapbox.
Uh-oh.
Go ahead.
You can follow him on Twitter, bpatafi, B-P-A-T-A-F-I-E. Quote, I'm covered up with my Toronto Maple Leafs blanket. It's so damp. I guess that's from being in the basement so long.
Want to make this statement, and I didn't even know this was coming up, but this is a good time than any. If you are an Evansville Iceman fan maniac or an employee, you can't really talk about my beloved Toronto Maple Leafs anymore in a joking fashion. You cannot look at the record.
Pot
you know.
Calling the kettle black.
Yes, yes. Yes, my Toronto Maple Leafs have not won a Stanley Cup since 1967. The Iceman have won one championship. That was 6 years ago in the AHA.
And since then.
So, one winning season. So, and actually, that was the only winning season. Oh, yeah, two winning seasons.
Two winning seasons. One of them was one game above 500.
And
one playoff appearance.
Yeah, and no playoff victories.
Right.
So, don't be talking about the Toronto Maple Leafs. Fix your own house. There you go. You don't shoot pucks in
glass houses.
That's
I like
right.
that.
Yeah, I just made it up. Upcoming games.
The six-game homestand continues with 3 games in 4 days, and this weekend marks the end of a brutal stretch in which the Icemen have played, or will have played, 13 games in 23 days, and that includes the 3-day All-Star break in the middle of that.
And that goes back to what we talked about in November when we were talking about some of the losses and missed points that they had to fix it soon because this time of the year the schedule gets rough, and here we are.
Yep. Tonight, the 28th, Wednesday, against the Reading Royals at home at 7:15. It is the last time the Royals will visit this season. They are 25-13-2 and riding a 4-game winning streak on the strength of a balanced offensive attack. They have 6 guys who have double-digit goals, and we have one. Brandon Wong.
Two Wong, with love.
And then Friday and Saturday, the Icemen host the Gwinnett Gladiators, both games at 7:15. It is the last times that the Gladiators come to town this season. They are 14-22-2 and battling us for last place overall in the conference. But they are 4-3 in their last 7, so they're playing at least somewhat respectable hockey lately, which cannot be said for the Icemen. They are led by forward Casey Piero Zabatel, who is the reigning ECHL Player of the Week.
As we heard earlier in the amusement park.
Last week, he had 5 goals and 3 assists in 4 games, and his 45 points leads the Gwinnett team and is 3rd overall in the ECHL. So he is certainly a player to watch out for in the more obvious statements category. And Saturday is the Pink the Rink game. The first 5,000 fans will get a pink rally towel. And the cool thing they're doing this year is that after the game on Friday, fans will be able to go out onto the ice with pink paint. And to do so, all you have to do is make a minimum $5 donation to Komen. You can do so at the Wednesday or Friday Iceman home games at the information table or at the Iceman office any day this week when they're open during regular business hours.
The dangling tangent.
So Sunday is a little thing called the Super Bowl.
The what?
Yeah, the Super Bowl, which public service announcement is 2 words, both capitalized.
Oh.
Drives me nuts when people combine it into 1 word.
Oh, my goodness.
Because I'm a nerd like that.
Yep.
So anyway.
Drives me nuts when you make predictions about the Iceman making the playoffs and then don't back it up.
Predictions for the Super Bowl plans?
Plans are very important.
Yes.
Moved down here back in 1998.
Mm-hmm.
Had no friends, just a girlfriend.
Same as now, just a wife instead of girlfriend.
I've got a few friends just because they want radio airtime. But
I don't know what you're talking about.
Met a guy through my wife's work, and we hit it off. He was a big Dallas Cowboy fan and invited me over to the Super Bowl party that he was hosting. And my wife said, would you be interested? You don't really know him. And I said, true, but I don't have anyone else to watch it with. And he's providing food. So went over there.
I'm game.
We've been friends, really close family friends. They do all kinds of nice things. He and his wife do all kinds of nice things for Ivy. And I watched three or four Super Bowls in a row at his place. Then I had to go home to Detroit to visit the family, watch the Super Bowl. And I sat on a couch between three aunts and my mom. It was the year the Colts won against Chicago, and there was all the rain in Miami, and they just complained the entire time about, this is horrible. Why don't they cancel the game? It shouldn't be played in the rain. Why would you make fans sit through this? Why can't they make it up on Wednesday? this is, you know, the league needs to step in. And I called my buddy and said, I will never not watch the Super Bowl with you. Well, since then, for work, he had to move to North Carolina. So this will be our second in three opportunities to drive to Charlotte, North Carolina to watch Super Bowl.
Cool.
And hang out there. So Ivy and I are loading up the car on Friday, and we'll be out there. And I am rooting for the Seahawks.
Yeah.
I am predicting the New England Patriots. I do not know how the Seahawks offensively are going to deal with the cornerbacks Browner and Revis. That, I think, is just going to loosen up or allow the Patriots the ability to stop the run, because they're going to be able to lock down the corners on the wide receivers.
I think both teams have very strong corners, but I think the difference is going to be inside. I think if the Seahawks can run the ball effectively, I think they'll win the game. If the Patriots front seven figures out a way to slow down Lynch, I think the Patriots win.
Yep.
And I like you, I'm rooting for the Seahawks, and everything in my brain tells me that the Seahawks should win this game because their defense is that good. But it just seems foolish to bet against Bill Belichick and the Patriots, as much as I hate them. By the way, speaking of hating the Patriots, did you see the video of Blue, the Colts mascot, beating the crap out of the Patriots mascot at the Pro Bowl?
No.
They did mascot musical chairs. They had the big inflatable chairs. I posted this on my Facebook page. There was a link to it. The video is online, where they were playing mascot musical chairs. They had 8 or 10 of the mascots. And in the middle of the musical chairs game, Blue, the Colts horse mascot, just decided, screw it with the game, and tackled the Patriots mascot. And the camera was on them, so everyone in the stadium saw what was happening up close on the Jumbotron. And the crowd popped like I have never heard 70,000 people pop at a Pro Bowl. It was the best thing to happen at a Pro Bowl ever. So Blue beats the crap out of the Patriots mascot, and then all the other mascots walk off to let Blue win the game because he took out the Patriots mascot.
Nice.
Yeah.
So I think it's going to be a really close game, 2017, 21-17,
yeah.
And it ought to be a beauty.
Yeah, I think it's going to be a good one. I'm looking forward to it. We're going to Amanda's parents. They have one of those like 85-inch giant movie screen style.
Oh yeah, we got
flat screens,
24-inch,
yeah.
Home theater all set.
Yeah, surround sound and everything. So yeah, I'm looking forward to it.
Final thoughts?
Next show is next week.
Next week,
as far as we know.
I got some plans lined up, so hopefully it works out.
Really?
Might be able to get a former Evansville Liceman on the radio
really?
With us. So, little teaser there.
Really? Is it your old buddy Aaron Nathan?
No, I do need to get a hold of him. We've exchanged emails multiple times, want to do a Where Are You Now segment with him, just haven't worked it out. So we'll see about that.
By the way, did you see that James Brooks and his girlfriend are expecting?
Oh, congratulations.
Yeah, Brooksy's going to be a daddy, and he's going to...
I bet you that baby doesn't kick in her belly. I bet you it punches. And I bet you it comes out wearing green pants.
That's what I was going to Going to get green diapers.
Maybe the Maniacs could get like a little green pant outfit for him or something.
Yeah,
like
get a miniature Iceman shirt and green pants.
Yep, that would be beauty.
There we go.
All right.
And green mittens.
He is Michael Shackley, the senior writer, the webmaster of IcemanManiacs.com for all the information. Actual factual information, you want to go to IcemanManiacs.com. You do not want to go to Facebook to the Maniacs Asylum. Those people are weird.
So stay away from that. Go to IcemanManiacs.com 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. All the information you need on your beloved Evansville Iceman. Only IcemanManiacs.com. This has been Iceman Insights, our weekly hour radio, 40-minute radio show today. As part of the amusement park. And, of course, we always want to say thank you for the airtime. WYIR 96.9 FM, a department division of Youth Incorporated, ministering to area youth for 23 years.
We'll see you on the radio.
The puck is in. The home team wins the good old hockey game.